Basketball Manitoba podcast, we have Marjorie Kelly. She is a graduate of Daniel McIntyre Collegiate. She then went on to play at the University of Manitoba. During her time there, she was National Rookie of the Year, National Defensive Player of the Year, three-time GPAC All-Star, and two-time All-Canadian. Additionally, she was a member of two consecutive national championship teams in 1996 and 1997. She was a tournament All-Star in both years. She is a two-time Manitoba Basketball Hall of Fame member, class of 2011 and class of 2021. Marjorie, welcome to the podcast.
Darcy, how are you?
I am wonderful. So when we were offline, I said, you know what? I don't think I know you at all. And this is a super rare case because the vast majority of people I've heard your name. I interviewed Colleen. And so I've heard your name, never met you. And that's super rare because the basketball community is fairly small. And so I got to meet you for the first time. I got to read your bio for the first time. I got to really hear about you. So I'm super excited to actually get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, me as well. And yes, your face doesn't even look familiar at all. So, but I've been pretty withdrawn from the basketball community. So that makes sense.
Well, I have to put some stuff right out there, right off the top. So when you, a lot of conversation happens offline. So in a lot of my podcasts, I'll kind of hint the listeners, we've had this conversation, that conversation offline. And this is also the first time that I've had someone admit to me that they're much like me in that they don't remember every detail like all the other guests on here. And every time they're saying the specific date and the time, and I remember this, and you're saying, you know what, I'm not like that either. So I hope it's okay. And I was don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. So I'm looking forward to hearing your story from a person who's probably sees the world very similar to myself. If that makes sense.
I didn't know you were going to put that out there, but now that you have. My life, my journey for basketball was very special. I appreciated everything. I'm just more of a, I think I'm more of a feeling person. I'm there, you mm-hmm. know, how they say, bring it on the court and leave it on the court. That's pretty much it. I leave it there and I take the emotion away and that's it, you know, but the journey was definitely special.
So I'm curious about that. You say that about yourself. Are you the type of person that is a different person on the court than off the court?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting. So, interesting. In what way?
Yeah. Well, I think I always knew that as well. And I would it was humorous to me to think about, because sometimes people would meet me obviously on the court. Mm-hmm. And then some people you rub shoulders with only off the court, they have no idea what else you do. And they're just getting two different sides of me. So on the court, I'm a smiler usually. I'm pretty friendly, just always willing to talk to people. On the court, I think I got pretty quiet. It's just, there's a job to do. It was a serious job to do. And yeah, I just was really focused. And I think that visually could have come across, a little intimidating maybe. But really off the court, I'm a softie. I'm always smiling and talking with people.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because you are noted among other things, but one of your unique attributes was your defensive ability. And it's very hard to be a nice person on the court and be a fierce defender. Those things are kind of in opposite to each other. So it makes sense that you'd say that on the court, I was handling my business.
Yeah. I guess you could say that, I probably could have mixed it better. There's nothing that would stop me from getting the job done, even if I was smiling with you, but I think it was just really focused, almost tunnel vision. This is what I need to do. And I need to really focus on it. So no real time to chat, a little trash talking here and there, but other than that, no real time for chit chat.
Got it. Well, I want to jump into your story. So I want to go way back. We're all up here, we're over there, we're kind of all over the place. But yeah, I like to kind of start off walking through it, chronologically. So the big question I always ask everyone is, who introduced you to the game? How did you get started? Where did you first started playing? So what are those first early memories of basketball for you?
And I've heard you ask this of people, and so I was thinking about it, and it's a valid question, right? Where did it all begin? And I really had to think about that myself. My earliest memories of basketball was playing with my brothers. And I remember playing with them, in the back lane, a little hoop, you're shooting around. And there was something special about basketball. I enjoyed it. I think I just enjoyed you know, having to work hard. Of course, I was with my brothers, you know, just the energy of it. So I remember that early on, just feeling the, I guess, the initial love for the game, right?
For sure.
But that didn't seal the deal. Like, I was not sold on basketball. That is not really where I thought my path was headed. I thought I would be a volleyball player. I thought I'd follow in the footsteps of my older sister. And that's where I was headed. So it doesn't shock me completely that this is where things went, considering my initial experience with the game. But
So your older sister was a volleyball player.
Yeah, she was a volleyball player. She did quite well. She was on the national team and just had a lot of successes. So as a young person, you know, that was my first experience seeing someone cut from the same cloth as myself, doing so well and like exceeding, right? And exceeding boundaries and things like that. So naturally, I think that's the route that I was going. I just kind of wanted to be like her. And then along the way, my path shifted. So I don't know. Yeah, it was a very, very interesting story when I think back on it. And I also chronologically try to map it out and see how I got to where I did. But it was quite exciting.
So then, like, you obviously did end up playing a little bit of volleyball through high school.
I did.
Yeah,
I did. And I played a lot of volleyball in high school.
so like, you know, you obviously didn't end up going on to play volleyball, but were you enjoyed playing? Were you pretty good?
I did. I think that was all right. Yeah. You probably have to ask my opponents, but I think I was pretty good at the game. You know, whether it was volleyball or basketball, I think I just always just enjoyed the whole team unity and just coming together. Of course, everybody enjoys the wins, but you got to take the L's too. Just team coming together and really just getting it done, whatever the goal is, right?
Okay. So then, you know, again, like, I put you on blast a little bit at the beginning of the podcast. And now I'm I'm digging. I'm going to ask, I'm going to make sure we ask these questions here. So, but like, realistically, so like, you're playing, okay, you have that memory of your brothers. You thought back, they kind of introduced me to the game. My sister's playing volleyball. So let me ask you this question. When do you remember it becoming serious? Meaning, like, when did you realize you were good at basketball? Like, were you like, I'm actually like better than most people, because you're obviously at Daniel, you went to U of M. So there was a point in there. Was it in junior high? Was it, do you remember when that was?
I do, actually. I remember starting on my first basketball team when I was in grade 9. I actually went to Sisler before I went to Daniel.
That's a
quick plug for Sisler.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went to Sisler for a year, and that was my first time being on a team. So like I said, my first love was initiated when I was playing with my brothers, but to be actually on a team playing the sport, was in grade 9. So we can probably dig back into that a little bit after, but after grade 9, I was transferred. I transferred to Daniel McIntyre. We moved, so I transferred to that school. And first year just felt magical. Like, the team was amazing. We did well. It was just so exciting. I don't know. I just started to feel the buzz, but I still wasn't sold. I was still a volleyball player, you know?
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure the pivotal moment was in grade 11.
That's when you kind of said, okay, like, I'm, what, yeah, like, was it something that happened during that
time?
I started wavering
because, you know, the ball was so fun. It was just so fun. And you know, there's a certain amount of platforms where you can really lay it all out. Like, you can just bring your total self, and you can just lay it on the line. And basketball just seemed like that kind of sport, whether it be offense, defense. And again, the magic of the team coming together. And of course, the W's don't hurt. It just started to become magical. And I felt myself wavering. So I started to think there might be another path.
What's interesting, I've not heard anyone explain it the way you just did. And I was like, that's why basketball is so special. And I mean this, it hit me, because I always say, you know, basketball is so unique. People fall in love with basketball. Like, and I know this, you know, if you've played the game, you understand that. But the way that you just explained it, because I was comparing it to volleyball, and you said you can fully express yourself, because you can. You can run in all directions. You can dive on the floor if you want. You can jump up in the air. You can, like, harass people. You can try to get by people. It's actually like this full expression of you know, you as an athlete, you can almost do anything. It's super interesting you say that. I've never heard that Because a lot of other sports have a lot of limitations on them. And this, mm-hmm. you know.
And actually, you recapping it makes a lot of sense too, right? Because basketball is a team sport. It's a team sport. Like, you have to play together. But mm-hmm. there is an individual aspect yes. to it. Like, when yes. you're playing, when you're one-on-one with that person on the wing, or one-on-one with that person and on the inside, like, it's you and that person. If you're yes. on a fast break, it's you and the person that's after yes. you. Like, it's so you get the whole team element, which has always been special to me. Yeah. But then you get that moment where it's just you and your opponent.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So yeah.
Absolutely. No, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. It's a nice reflection. So do you, like, again, during that time frame where, you know, basketball became serious, you got mm-hmm. the fire lit there, you're in grade 11. Were there any key mentors, coaches, or any people that maybe nudged you a little bit, saying, hey, like, you know, you're pretty good at this basketball thing, or people that, you know, kind of guided you towards playing basketball over volleyball? Or liking it, I should say, liking it, because you played both. So like,
I did play both. And I had amazing coaches, right? Like, I had amazing coaches. And I always think my coaches seen more in me than I seen in myself. Mm. And that is the truth. So when I would step on the court, whether it be volleyball or basketball, I literally stepped in just to be, right? Like, there was no, what are my stats? What's this? Like, there was none of that. It was really just, let me just do this thing and just have this, the enjoyment of the game. Like, that mm-hmm. was it. Mm-hmm. So I think just in enjoying the game, I think coaches started to see something in me. So, mm-hmm. you know, I would get comments like, oh, you're pretty good at this, or, you know, let's work on this. Or, you know, I think maybe that was happening early mm-hmm. and I didn't really tune in to it so much, because I was more, okay, this is exciting, I'm enjoying this. You know, you have to enjoy something before you even decide to do it further, right? Sure. So there were a lot of special people in my that came in my path that really, really started to nudge the route. Mm-hmm. I think I hit a point where I wanted to separate myself as well from my sister's path. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there was a lot of buzz about what are you going to do? Are you going to play this and that? And I think I just hit a moment where I just felt like I wanted to take an individual path to mm-hmm. the route that she took, and it just went from there.
Interesting. Okay, so why'd you go to U of M, I guess, is the question. So back then, the reason why I asked that is because, like, uh-huh. you know, obviously, again, Manitoba was, like, Manitoba being Winnipeg and Manitoba, like, the province was mm-hmm. an absolute powerhouse, with both those schools yeah. being, like, two of the best schools in the country, which is absolutely crazy, by the way, during those times. And so, question I have for you, were any other schools recruiting you? Or was it just like, I'm going to Manitoba? How did that happen?
Yeah, for me, it was a choice between U of W and Bisons. Mm-hmm. And that's a tricky question. I can't say that I remember exactly what really tipped it over to the Bisons. I know I was talking to people that had gone to both schools. You know, I talked to some of the people that were playing for the Bisons. I don't know. I'm going to say that's one of those God chosen paths, because it turned out to be so successful and definitely mm-hmm. the right choice that I'd make 100 times over.
Yeah. So there was no, like, way that you were going outside of the province at this point?
I had an invitation from Cornell University.
Okay.
I can't remember if there was anybody else. I do remember that school, but no, I that was more of a decision with me and my mom at the time. I think she felt safe for me just staying local. Mm-hmm. I think I did want to explore another opportunity, but it mm-hmm. made sense. You know, it was safer, close to your support system.
Yeah.
So that was a decision I made.
Okay. See, I'm curious, like, that's, I was just so curious, like, you're choosing between two powerhouse schools. Mm-hmm. The coaches must have been recruiting. Because the reason why yeah. I ask, I'm always so curious at, like, different eras, how people recruit. Mm-hmm. So do you have any memory of, like, any of that? Like, as far as, like, were you getting letters? Were you getting phone calls? Was, you know, Colleen, or, like, were people visiting? Well, they're obviously watching your games without question. Mm-hmm. But do you remember any of, like, any of the other small details around, like, being recruited at the time?
I actually don't. I really don't. I know you're digging.
I have to ask.
I know you do, and that makes sense. And, you know, maybe I'll revisit that in my memory banks, you know, I again, but I really don't. I don't remember a lot of the small details of that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, my journey feels really magical. Like I feel like I really was just guided on this path. Probably didn't even realize, you know, what was ahead of me at the time. Like really, mm-hmm. I just was enjoying the game. I wish I could remember what tipped the scale for me to go to the Bisons. Mm-hmm. I do feel like I remember a conversation with Colleen, but I don't even think I can put it up there. I just don't. I don't have the details. I don't have the details.
Well, the one thing I
let's bring Colleen back on.
I was just gonna say, let's see what call her up. I'll call her up right now. Like, but no, the one thing I could say, I definitely sense about you is you're very much someone who is in the moment, right? Like you're seem to be very present. And what you're doing, like you've mentioned it a few times, you're like, no, like I just went out and played, like it wasn't you know. And so you're, and again, I think I share this quality. This is why I don't remember things either, because I'm like, no, like I'm just there, like I'm focused, I'm locked in, I don't remember. I'm like, I'm on to the next thing.
You probably have an immaculate memory and you're just trying to make me feel better.
no, trust me, anyone who knows me listens, I'm like, I don't remember what happened yesterday, like I'm just like you. So you went on to win 2 championships there.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah, that's pretty special. I mean, back-to-back championships at that. What do you remember about just those games, those years? What type of sentiments does that bring up to you? Just thinking back, like, hey, I was a, you know, back-to-back champion.
I just remember the team coming together so well. Like, I feel like everybody on the team really, really played a part in everything that we achieved. And everybody did it so well, and we were just, I don't know, we were just, it was just a special team, really specially bonded. And I remember the energy and, I don't know, just feeling like the part that I played on that team, like, was the part I was supposed to play on that team. Mm. You know, we had TL, she was a great offensive player at the time. We had, you know, Vicky Neufeld, she was dangerous on the inside. And then boom, I knew I was very confident in my ability to steal the ball and play defense. It just seemed like all of the people on the team had a part to play, and we played it well together. So that's what I really, really remember. Oops, here we are. That's what I really remember about that.
Time
for sure. Yeah, it's and when I do think about those times and the championships that we won, it's just it's very special times that that I'll never forget. Like I'll never forget the teams that I played on.
Yeah, absolutely. So then what you have to remember this moment. So because I asked Colleen, I said, I purposely didn't ask this question directly to her because she had so many, you know, memories and all this stuff that she's just done so much.
For sure.
But then I said, what's your most memorable basketball moment? Mm-hmm. And she answered, oh, definitely when we stopped U of W from their winning streak. That was like one of her most memorable ones. So I ask you directly, though, like, what do you remember about that? I mean, you were, I think were you a rookie?
That was my first year.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of my memory gaps are because it was just, like everything happened so quickly. I can't even explain it. You know what I mean? Like I see the kids now and they're playing club and they're doing this. Like my journey was not like that. Like I literally kind of fell into sport and then things happened very quickly after that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but what I do remember, I do remember that game, not in great detail, but I do remember the feeling even approaching the game. And, you know, obviously the Westmen were a very strong team. There was no secret about that. They were very strong. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we had lost to them numerous times before that, even just hearing, even before I got there, what the reputation was between the two teams. And I think that was really motivating for me. Like I was a young player, I didn't know what it meant to lose. Like I didn't know what it meant to lose to the Westmen. I just heard the stories, right? So, coming up to that game, I do remember, you know, some fans really, you know, saying, you know, you guys are going to get beat. This is what's going to happen to you. I remember having an individual come and say, you know, guys, you guys should just let them win. Like there was a lot of dialogue around that game. The city was definitely into the game. And I just felt super motivated by it. Like I've never really been a type of person to accept a loss before it happened. You know what I mean? I've always been optimistic, and I feel like that's what I felt for the game. I know Pauline prepared us really well for the game. We were super pumped to play this game. Mm-hmm. There was just a lot of energy in the city. It's hard to describe now because I don't know what the atmosphere is completely now, but back then it was just, there was so much energy around it. Mm-hmm. Obviously don't want to stay in the screen here. I keep flipping my camera. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think like that same year, you mm-hmm. all went and played them in the national final though, right? Is that correct? And then you lost that in the national correct. Final.
We did. Yes.
That's so crazy. Like it's like you're in the same city. They're about to try to win, you know, set all time records. And then you end up beating them, but then you play them in the national final. I mean, it's just just reflecting back on that, like the amount of talent and how good those teams were. It's just it's super impressive.
Yeah. And any team, no matter how good you are, can lose on any given night, right? Yes. Like it really comes down to who's hungry, like who is hungrier. Yes. So and we were super excited and super pumped to play that game. Like there was a lot of energy and like I said, on any given night, anything can happen. And we ended up grabbing that win. So that was
great. Yeah, and that's like one of those ones. It's not a championship, but as far as Manitoba's concerned, it might as well be a championship.
Yeah,
like that game will always be remembered. Like it's like you know, interestingly enough. So you ended up playing 4 years and then you left and you went and played pro.
I did go and play semi-pro, yes.
So where'd you go and how'd that happen?
So I went to Germany. And let's rewind because I'll kind of tell you how things spun out. I do feel like I remember a little bit about this.
All right.
So I feel like I had gotten a national team tryout, which I was super excited about because I did not expect that at all. Mm-hmm. Had no idea that would happen. So I got the national team tryout and to the tryout. Long story short, after having a pretty decent tryout, I was selected as an alternate on the team of 15, which was so exciting. I was very young at the time and just couldn't even believe that I had made it to that level. And I believe the same year I came back and I tried out for the junior national team. And this was after working because I figured, okay, I'm going to completely steal this spot on the junior national team. And I remember getting cut. What? And I remember like this was a pivotal moment for me. I just remember feeling like I've always been able to take a loss, you know what I mean? And I just felt, I don't know, it just hit me a bit differently. And I think at that point I was going to step back for a year. I was going to take a year off. Let me just regroup. Let me see what's happening. And then probably go back, right?
Yeah.
And then an opportunity arose, you know, I had started sending out my marketing tape. I had a highlight tape at the time, so I started sending it out to different places. And one was to Portugal and then Germany, and it was kind of a choice between the two. I ended up choosing Germany and went away that season, and it was a wild ride. It was great.
Interesting. So how did you get, so you make it, you're an alternate on the senior women's national team, then you get cut from the junior national team?
Yeah, it was, like I said, I didn't expect to even be selected as an alternate on the senior team. So, but it was exciting, super exciting for me. And I do remember coming back and working really hard. I actually worked with Vic Pruden, which I know is a name in the basketball community. I ended up working with him very closely and working on my shot. And I remember coming back to that junior national team trial and I was pumped, like I was ready for the world, you know, and felt like I had a really great trial. And so the cut really, it really threw me off. It really threw me off because I had tried to put in the work and come back. And at the time, TL actually, she was at the tryout with me. And after I got cut, I was numb. Like I was coming back to my room and I remember TL's like, hey, you know, how did it go? And I straight face, no smiles. I was like, I got cut. And she was like, oh, stop messing around. Cause I was a bit of a jokester back then. And I was like, I got cut. And that was pretty much it. It just one of those moments that you really have to kind of sit with a little bit.
Yeah.
yeah, so I was going to take a step back that year and just kind of regroup. And I ended up sending out some highlight tapes and going away.
So the plan initially was, okay, like that was a huge blow. You know what? I'm just going to chill out. Then, but you had some highlight tapes out. You got an opportunity that kind of came up and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to get out of here for a little bit. Was it kind of like that?
Yeah. And to be honest with you, that was like a big goal of mine was to go overseas. Like that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go overseas. I wanted to play. I wanted to get paid to play. Like that was kind of a big goal for me. So when the opportunity did come up, absolutely. I was going to take it. So
interesting. So you did that for 1 year. Is that correct?
I did that for one season. And then I came back. I was having a bit of issues. Like, I've always had, you know, some back and hip issues. So I'm having a bit of issues out there. I specifically remember one game playing out there and I think I went up for a rebound and I came down and somebody kind of pushed me in the lower back and I hit the ground and I literally had to crawl off the court. Like I couldn't even stand back up straight. Like, it just threw something off and I couldn't walk for like the next week. They had to do some like deep tissue massage and everything just to get my muscles from stop spasming. But those things started happening more frequently. So I had to be really careful. So I decided, it was probably time to come home.
Interesting. Yeah. So you come back home. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say the interesting thing about that, though, is my team in Germany, we did like amazing. We did really well. And the next year, my team went D1. Like if I had just kept my stuff together, I could have been.
So they went up to the other, the second division.
Yeah. Cause we did well. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So then you came back and then did you sit out more years? Or did you jump back right and go back to Manitoba?
No, I'm pretty sure I played again. Like I didn't know the rules around that. Like I know there was some they had to check into kind of the gray areas of going away and playing. But in the end, it seemed like it was fine for me to just come and finish out my last year, and that's what I did. And to be honest with you, kind of safer doing it in your hometown than being in a completely different country, right? Yes. So if something did happen to me here, of course my family's here, I got a support system here. Like you know, it makes a bit of a difference for me to give it a try still for my last year.
For sure. And if I'm not mistaken, when you came back, is that when you won Defensive Player of the Year? Year?
Yeah. My last year.
Yeah. Isn't that a little bit like you've been known for defense all this time and then you come back.
And I think it was a new award, if I'm not mistaken. Award as well. Yeah. So
maybe that's why.
But it was, definitely an honor. You know what I mean? When you're thinking about, you know, just all of the great teams playing in Canada, that was definitely an honor to be named Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have heard of people who have done a similar route where they go play semi-pro and they can come back. Mm-hmm. It's just typically not in the case. Like I think your story is a little bit unique in that regard. And then to come back, but then like, oh, I'm going to win National Defensive Player of the Year when I come back. You know, it wasn't like you're like, oh, you know, like I came back 2 years later, I'm a little out of shape, I'm whatever. No, like you won a national award.
Definitely an honor. Definitely an honor. For sure.
But when you came back, was it pretty much a whole new group of
players?
Like, so you were like the old, like,
it was
hey,
a different,
like,
I was the old girl on a team, which is so funny when you think about basketball, like you get old pretty quick. It was interesting coming back. It was, you know, a lot of the younger players and it was a different energy, different mix, but still good.
Was that Colleen's last year? Or was she gone? Like she coached that year, right?
She did coach that year. Yeah. So I think whether it was her last year, I don't know.
I believe that may have been her last or one of her, maybe a couple more after that.
I feel like she was there after I had left.
Yeah. Like she stayed she became the athletic director.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. True.
But because my first year was 2001. And she was, I think, still the coach, or maybe she was gone. I'm not sure. But in any case, so she did. You only had Colleen as a coach for college.
Yeah.
So, okay.
That's right. So you came and I left, and that's pretty much the story.
That's why, I've heard your name because of, you know, obviously your whole story. But again, we never met you. And again, it's interesting. Like I said, I kind of opened up the podcast with this you know, because you aren't like coaching or in basketball, only know you as a name. And I obviously I've seen the game, like the game. So I saw you as a young person playing, but like never saw you, you know. And I think also, correct me if I'm wrong, you were not living in Winnipeg either.
I had moved after so once I stopped playing, I was still here for a little bit. Okay. And then I think I left in about 2002. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So even if, you know, Winnipeg's small, for some reason, even then, like, you weren't even living here. So, okay.
That's true.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Okay. So we're coming close to the end of the podcast. I have a few more questions for you. Okay. So, these ones are good. These are going to be hard. I'm not going to lie because, you know, as we talked about a few times, you know, you're not one for details. So I'm going to ask them. And if for whatever reason you're like, pass, then just say pass. Okay.
Okay.
Sound good? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, most memorable basketball moment. And it could be something we talked about already. It's okay if we've talked about it.
Yeah. But I think the most memorable it'll be the street game for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For me, I think it will. It just really stands out in my mind. I was a first year player. So many things were happening. Street game and rookie of the year, because I wasn't expecting that either. Yeah. And let me tell you a funny story about that. So I was not expecting that award. I was not expecting that award. Like I said, my whole journey has been pretty, I don't want to say overwhelming, like it was great, but it was almost ahead of me, right? Because I was a young person. I didn't know all these things that were coming at me and it was amazing, but it was a lot, right? So either the streak game or rookie of the year. So my story is this. Right before they were naming rookie of the year, like we're in this big room and there's so many people and this is my first time at the big table, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's already a lot. Yeah. And I can't remember, I don't remember which teammate I was talking to that said, you know, you're going to get this award. I know you're going to get this award. And I'm like, I don't really want to go up there. Like, this is a big stage. There's so many people in the room and I am not, at that point, I was not used to talking in front of people, nothing at all. So boom, they call my name and I felt sick to my stomach. Like I felt, I'm not kidding. I felt sick to my stomach. Like, how am I going to go up there and accept the award? Like if they can throw it down to me, I'll take it. But now I have to go up there and make a speech. So anyways, this was one of my initial memories of ever standing up in front of a crowd and speaking. And I got up on stage, I took the award. And as soon as I started talking on the microphone, everything was fine. Like it just, all of my nerves disappeared. Yeah, it was the strangest thing. All of my nerves disappeared. I was able to thank my team, which I really wanted to do, and the coach, and just all of these things came rumbling out of my mouth. And I felt like this really strange calm just being up there. But I literally felt sick to my stomach before. I almost felt like I would not accept the award if I just didn't have to go up on stage.
Wow, that's so interesting.
So it's actually pretty funny because since that time, like I've talked in front of many people, like it's not a big deal. But that initial feeling, I'll never forget that. So
interesting. See, I thought you were going to say like I tripped up the stairs or something.
No,
and like,
thank goodness. No.
I was going to say you're so nervous. And then like, and now you're like, oh no, it just happened. It flowed.
It was surreal. Like it was a surreal experience. Yeah.
So like, I have to ask them, like, is that a defining moment for you with regards to you just being like out in the public and speaking and kind of being able to express yourself?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I've always been pretty internal, you know, like I'm kind of introverted and bring out my extrovert side when I want to. Yeah. But yeah, that was definitely a moment where I had to find my voice and accept this award and definitely thank, you know, the people in the room. So
now if we fast forward to your last year, did you have to do a speech for Defensive Player of the Year?
I did not do a speech.
Okay.
No. I did not do a speech that last year. As much as I said probably something pretty brief, but no, I didn't. I didn't roll out a big speech for that.
No. Okay. No. Okay. So next question I have is, do you have a funniest basketball memory or moment?
This is probably a better question for my teammates. Okay. I have many, and I'm sure if they were here on this podcast, they would roll them all out, be very embarrassing. I'm going to say I've had wardrobe malfunctions, let's say that.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. So, you know, I've had moments where I'm at the game, my shorts are on backwards, this is happening, that's happening, because again, I'm not thinking about it. I'm like, get to the game, make sure you got your stuff focused, you know, and my team, they'd be laughing at me all the time, like all the time, all the time. So that's just one thing, but there were probably many.
Probably many. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this one, you'll have a comment to this one. So what are some things that you've learned through your basketball journey that you apply to everyday life?
Lots. Like if this whole podcast was about that, then I would have had a lot more to say. It's not date oriented, right? lots. Like basketball definitely changed my life completely. I'm going to say I found myself in the sport. You know, they say basketball is life, and totally true. You know, I found that I'm a passionate person. I found my discipline. I found that if I work hard enough and I work smart enough, I can accomplish anything. That's been those things I take with me today. And that your opponent is just like you. Like really, it's just another person that you're up against that want the same thing that you want. And now it's just a matter of, okay, who's going to work harder? Who's going to work smarter? I still use that today. And I found a lot of confidence in the game. You know, I was a pretty quiet person. I was a quiet person. But you know, I just kind of found a different side of me. You know, you have different personas. Like, again, once I stepped on the court, that was it. Like, it's like, once you step on the court, this is it. So it just kind of allowed me, again, a platform to just experience different sides of myself. But I think the biggest thing, again, the confidence and just learning who I was, like how hard I could work, that when I really set my mind to something, I could do it. Like I remember there being times in games where, like, I'm going to steal the ball. Like, I'm going to get that ball. And I had this feeling that I could almost anticipate what the next move was going to be. And I think that really contributed to my defense, because I could just almost see in someone's face what they're going to do next. Or, you know, again, you know, you can get used to people's routines. So you know who they want to pass to. So even if that person's all the way down the court, I know you want to pass to that person. So I'm just going to, that's just where I need to be. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It was just, yeah, a lot of those things I still take with me today. And I think I learned how to, if you want to get better at something, like baby steps, sometimes you have to go right back to the beginning and break it to learn how to do it better. You know what I mean? Like, I had mentioned Vic Pruden earlier today, but like, I had to really break down my shot and really kind of learn the mechanics of it. Right. Because again, my basketball journey went quite quickly. Like, I literally, boom, I'm on the court. I love the game. Okay, now I'm going to play. Boom, now I'm playing for the university. So there was just no time to really just stop and, you know, and break it down. And I feel like I had to do that afterwards to have some more successes along the way as well.
Yeah, interesting. So if we take that same, everything you kind of said there, and I'm going to ask you a hypothetical question. Now, you know, you've learned lots of lessons and through this journey. Now imagine that you're speaking to some youth and those youth basketball players.
Yeah.
And you've given a talk and there's a team in front of you, or, you know, maybe it's the basketball Manitoba provincial team, bunch of young athletes, and they really are looking up to you, and you're saying, you know, you're there to pass a message on to them. Now you've listed a whole bunch of things, right? But if you wanted them to walk away from that interaction with you and to have one thing that they remembered that they took away from there, what would that one idea, philosophy, or like direct message be?
Okay. I got two things.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one, first and foremost, like, just believe in yourself, right? Like, people are going to chat. Like, they're going to have a lot of chatter. Some people are going to say, oh, you're phenomenal. Some people are going to say, oh, you suck. Like, they're just going to have a lot of dialogue, and you have to believe in yourself. So that's where it starts. Like, that was the motivation. I think I have three things actually. So that's number one. Okay. Number two is, if you want to get better, consistency. Mm-hmm. Like break it down again, break it into bite-sized things. If you want to learn how to dribble better, like break it down, and it's got to be consistent, you know, like mm-hmm. at the peak of my basketball, when I was really, really, the game was my life. I ate, slept, and drank basketball. That was it. Like I zoned in on it and I zoned in on what I wanted to do with it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was a lot of progress with that. So I would say, you know, you got to really, you know, break it down and be consistent with what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I did have something else. What was I going to say now? See, my memory, Darcy, is gone.
You said two and then, okay, maybe it was just two.
I said two and then
you tricked yourself.
Now it is two. Like, now it's just two. But yeah, I think it's like, even when I think about the young players, and my daughter is playing now. So, you know, I get to see the game from the green stage, you know, mm-hmm. where I once was. It's amazing just to watch the talent out there and watch how hard they're working. And again, now the game has changed, you know, there's club and there's all these different mm-hmm. things to help you progress and help improve your skills. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, do as much as you can, get out there, like play pickup, get out there, you know, touch the ball, play around the ball, keep it with you, just really make it a part of you, and, mm-hmm. and good things will happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great advice. Yeah. The consistency yeah. and just passion yeah. And belief, yeah. like you said, the belief yeah. in yourself is
for sure.
Yeah.
For
sure. Yeah. I think that's those huge. Things all kind of interact with each other, right? Very hard mm-hmm. to be consistent in something if you don't believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you know,
like, I remember the number three. I got it.
Let's hear
it. I got it. Okay. Something super simple. Have fun with the game.
Yes.
Don't be too hard on yourself. You know what I mean? It's just a game. And when I say it's just a game, that's not to take away from the game. I just mean, it's just a game, which means that, you know, you don't have a good day, you come back tomorrow, you have a better day. Like
exactly.
that's take that with you. And I tell my daughter that as well. It's like, you know, there's only going up. Like if you're going to work on something, you're only going to get better. It doesn't matter. Like you'll incrementally get better if you just stick it out and you're consistent mm-hmm. with it, mm-hmm. but you got to have fun. Cause once the fun is gone from the game, it's over.
That's like, pretty over. Much it. Yeah, you're right.
It's over.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Doesn't matter how good you are. You're just not there anymore, right?
True.
So,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're absolutely right. I mean, yeah. I think you hit on all the most important things right there.
Aren't you happy? I remembered number three. Yeah.
Because you know why? You know why? We finished. I started off the podcast. You know what? I don't know the memory. And you're like, hey, listen.
I came through.
Listen, you came through. No, that was great. I think that this is the end. I want to mm-hmm. thank you for taking the time and sharing your story, offering that advice. Yeah. If anyone is listening that played with Marjorie and has any funny stories, please send us emails, comment on the Instagram post, the YouTube video.
Can you limit them to only two stories each?
No, as many as you can tell us. Let's go. No, but we do appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know, like you're in basketball gyms. Maybe I'll just randomly run into you, like, oh hey, I've never ever seen before. And now we did a podcast and hey,
right?
Look at that.
You never know. That's kind of how things work too, right?
It really is.
You never know.
So mm-hmm. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, nice talking with you, Darcy.
Awesome. Okay, take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please like, subscribe, follow, and share this series, and reach out to us with your comments on the show. Thanks again for joining us.